Welcome to episode 8 of Bedtime Stories for Grown-Ups, a podcast that is meant to be your guide into dreamland. Hopefully, you'll never hear the end of it. Once upon a time, if you were lucky, someone told you bedtime stories. Maybe someone read you books, or the same favorite book over and over. Or maybe someone made up your bedtime stories, telling you nonsensical things until you closed your eyes and drifted into sleep. These bedtime stories are the whimsical, made-up kind, little snippets from dreamland to guide you there. There is no plot to follow, no sense to make of anything, just a sequence of images from beyond the consciousness of day to help you drift, let go, and fall blissfully into sleep. We are at our friend's place. We are excitedly telling him about all of the animals that we had seen walking on water. But he doesn't seem too impressed. Maybe he thinks we are just making it up. He is trying to be polite by asking some questions to feign interest. Anyway, he seems rather preoccupied. He is planning to paint a traditional Mexican scene, but he is not sure whether he is really a painter. We suggest he should just throw some paint down on a big canvas and roll around in it naked for a while, and then he will know if he is a painter or not. He thinks we are making fun of him, but we're not. We are serious. We are on a cargo ship that has been invaded by desperate pirates. We are being directed into a shallow bay where these ships do not usually go. We are hoping for rain, because when this whole thing started, it was raining, and now we are hoping for an ending. Rain, it seems, is a vital ingredient. There is a group of us gathered around a book. We are able to open this book to a given date and time and say where and when we want to be. And then there is a kind of shimmering. And voila, there we are. You have to say the time on the date that you want to go to just before the time you are actually in. In other words, before the buzzer goes off. Or it won't work. We have been corrected a few times, and we had to turn back a page because we were not at precisely the right time. The time is measured in 15-minute increments in the book, but it is, in reality, much more precise than that. We are walking between two mountains. The one behind us is where we usually go for hikes with our dogs. The one in front is where we seek the oracle and collect drinking water. It is a magic mountain, and we are looking forward to climbing it. Now we just have to find the right path. We notice a vast network of ants living underneath the walkway outside the house. If you lift up a rod or a rake or anything that is lying on the ground, the ants come scurrying out, and they quickly move en masse underneath another grate nearby. They also bring all their precious belongings with them. They have a long silver coil that they are moving, and also a silver chain that they must have found. Why do they keep these things? What use are they to the ants? Do they have spiral staircases in their underground cities? There are so many of them. It is kind of unnerving watching them all come bubbling out of the ground. Hopefully they are not destabilizing the foundation. We know a woman who is afraid of sleeping because she has so many nightmares. We are telling her that she just needs to learn to take control of her dreams. Take the director's chair, we say. And if she doesn't like where things are going, she just needs to say cut. There was a doll lying on the bed, and it started blinking, opening and closing her doll eyes. It was unnerving. We could see it by the corner of our eyes. There must be another entity present, and this is how it is letting us know. But now we can't speak. We can't even say, "It's okay." Now we have to either wake up, or dive fully into dreamtime, or we will be lost. It is hard not to be afraid when you can feel a powerful entity surrounding you. Feel it, but not see it. So powerful that you cannot even speak. We are fighting waves of fear, but not the kind of heart-stopping fear that we have felt before. We dive deep into dreamtime. A beautiful white bird flew into the house. It was not something we had ever seen before. It landed on the wall above a painting. "We love you, sweet bird," we said. And the bird flew down and landed on my shoulder. All was well. We are driving along a highway in a convertible with the roof down. It's beautiful. We see a flock of brilliant blue birds covered with splashes of crimson, not so much fly, as float straight up into the sky like a bunch of balloons. We watch them until they disappear. How do they fly like that? We couldn't even make out any individual birds. The flock seemed to be one giant organism. We have absolutely no idea where we are going. Stanley Kubrick's Clock Might with Malcolm McDowell and some other guys is playing on the television. It has already started. Malcolm McDowell is hanging onto a grandfather clock with all of his might, kind of like a totem figure. I think maybe you have to see it from the beginning. We don't think it's a good idea to throw the unconscious guy down in the pit with the unconscious grizzlies. As a matter of fact, even the two grizzlies shouldn't be lying together like that. There's gonna be trouble when they wake up. But they're all kind of cuddling right now, while they are sleeping. There is a guy showing off by hanging upside down off a railing. And he falls in just as the ferry is pulling away. Dangerous. The girl he is with was just fired because of something her boyfriend did when he came to visit her at work. Now they are drinking and telling tales of crawling drunk into bed with the wrong generation. We were working with a small magazine publisher downtown. There was a young man there who wrote prolifically but suffered from low self-esteem and was also given to bouts of depression. The owner publisher was an ornery, cranky Scot by the name of Ibbotson. He had very high expectations. He was making some comment about the young man's writing, which prompted the young man to go and curl up on his bunk. We felt sorry for him and went to get some cushions for his head at least. There wasn't much space here. We each had our own little cluttered desk, stove, and sleeping area. We tried to make it a little nicer with a few burgundy cushions. The boss was a forceful man, bordering on being a bully. We asked about the magazine's demographic. Yes, it was mostly white, older, wealthy males. We asked if he ever published articles on wildlife or habitat conservation and restoration. He looked at us with slight contempt. "Oh, are you one of those people?" he asked. "It is just that it is a very important subject," we said, "and your demographic has the power and the money to do something about it. But we are still on probation in this job, and now it looks like we might not be working here anymore." Now we are living in a much tougher neighborhood. Our cat is going to have to re-establish himself all over again. And he probably won't make alpha male in this neighborhood. Look at those female cats over there. They are wearing lipstick and stockings and strutting around behaving like a bunch of entitled primates. And they have all taken notice of the Thomas cat. There is a guy who is following us through the streets and treating us to stop and talk to him, or at least help him to get the burrs out of his mouth. We do not mean to be unkind, but we brush him off and beat a hasty retreat. Outside the back door, there was a wolf curled up on a wooden storage box near a shed. I tried to pet him, and he grabbed my sleeve, and I had to struggle to snatch my arm away. That was foolish. At least he didn't grab my arm, just my sleeve. Maybe he didn't want to hurt me, but it was close. You don't mess with wolves. Now we have found a wolf cub curled up in the living room. He is afraid, but feels safe curled up on the sofa. There is a baby crow sitting on the back of the sofa looking sideways at the cub. How did they end up in here? We get on the phone to a wildlife specialist. It was the cub's father that I had seen outside. He is injured, and so is the mother. She is on the other side of the lake where the road turns up very steeply. Maybe we shouldn't have taken the cub in. No, that's okay. We will reunite him with his mother. Now we are driving around with the pup looking for his mother. Here is the steep road on the other side of the lake now. We could not figure out how to get back into town exactly. We had seen the highway heading north and the highway heading south, but now we kept driving into dead ends. Sometimes, dream characters just emote without speaking. They just look at each other, and a narrator speaks their thoughts. The whole thing is in voiceover. It makes for some boring and over-the-top emoting. Actual dialogue between dream characters is much better. We were going to see a lawyer, and we had to make haste, because he would be heading out on his other job soon. At night, he was an exterminator. Lawyer by day, exterminator by night. As a matter of fact, he's going out to do a job for us tonight. We have a problem with roaches. A guy named Mulcair threw a handful of wriggling roaches down on the table. About 50 of them. Take these to him, he said. He will know what to do with them. In the gathering dusk, we could make out some crows floating on the water just outside the door. They were floating like ducks and diving for food. We've never seen crows behaving like ducks before. Their black wings looked silver in this light. One of them actually had silver wings. A black body and silver wings. We are creating and manipulating scenes with our hands. It is like being inside a painting or a drawing or a film still and changing things by molding them and forming them with our hands. It is very exciting. It is magic. There is this woman who keeps turning invisible. It has something to do with whether anyone is paying any attention. She needs to be careful, though, because if no one pays any attention for long enough, she will disappear entirely. Outside, the weather is changing rapidly. And then there is a big bang, and some sort of explosion in the sky. And then it is raining oil. Globules of amber-colored oil are raining down on us. We are running back inside, and we are covered in thick wads of the stuff now. What is going on? In the distance, we could hear drumming. A protest was coming our way. We also have drums. Maybe we should join them. Thank you for listening. Sweet dreams.